How we doing today? Looks like a bunch of people are out enjoying camping weather. That's wonderful. Hopefully they're like preparing a spot up in Florence and getting ready to get firewood tomorrow. That would be the best, right? Can we talk to God for a moment before we dive into the Word? Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that we are called and chosen, God, according to your purposes. God, we thank you that we can gather together openly, God, in public. God, to worship you, to praise you as a corporate body. And Lord God, I ask that you would open the ears, God, of the hearer, both here and online, Lord God, those who would view from their homes. God, that you would open their ears to the truth of your word. God, that they would hear it, that it would be a seed of faith planted inside of them. God, that it would grow and develop and mature, Lord God, bringing forth much fruit that would glorify you. Father, I thank you for this. I ask, God, that you would use me as your vessel to speak through today. God, to your people. God, that they would be encouraged and strengthened by your word. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you know what an amazing God we serve? Okay, one person does. Wow. We've got a lot of work to do today. We serve an absolutely amazing God. Some of us aren't walking in the fullness of that. Some of us have no idea what that even means. Some of us have had a glimpse of what that means and think we know what it means. But none of us, until we walk through the gates of heaven, will for surely know all the magnitude of the amazing, awesome God that we serve. Until we stand face to face in his glory and his presence, we won't know. And I don't even think at that moment we'll know. I think that's why he gives us eternity, to hang out with him in heaven so we can get to know all that he is. So just know where you're at today. You're not finished. There's a lot more of God to experience, to enjoy, to understand, to know. God is so amazing. I've titled today, He Cares for You. Each one of you, not just one of us, but all of us individually, He cares for you. Do you know how much God cares for you? I think we do. Sometimes we have some understanding and experience of it, but really how much God really cares for you. Hopefully as we dive in the Word today, we can gain a better understanding and a deeper knowledge of how much he really cares for us. So there's lots of things I could have talked about today. Of course, I've always got a few things on the back burner at least to talk about. Like we could open the Word of God anywhere and just read the Word and it would be enough. But I'm always seeking, like, God, what do you want your people to hear this week? God, what's your message for them today? And I think sometimes God designs a whole message for one person that would show up that one Sunday. And the rest of us are just here to listen and be encouraged and be cheerleaders for that one person. And I think other Sundays, it's a message for the whole body, and it affects a lot of us, and it's amazing also. But for me, I sit through the week or the months prior to a message, and I'm like, God, what do you want your people to hear? What's your heart toward them? What do you want them to hear on this very day? So I've been, of course, seeking that out the last few weeks, and I'm sitting there flying home from Alaska Friday on the airplane. We're leaving Seattle. It's just crystal clear, which never happens in Seattle. I look out my window, and there's Mount St. Helens and Mount Shasta, Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier and Mount Shasta off in the distance, and all the Olympics, and just gorgeous, beautiful, and you see the Puget Sound and the ocean. And I've just spent a week in Alaska, and like seeing all that God's created, and amazing sights and scenery, and animals and critters and fish of the sea, And God just blows my mind continually when I think about all these. But I'm looking out at that landscape and just like, wow, thinking of those two volcanoes sitting there, the power that they contain that is within them, the magnitude of destruction and mayhem they could cause. And I'm just thinking, wow, God, you're so awesome. You've created such a beautiful landscape and such a beautiful world for us to live in. And those mountains, like they look calm and peaceful and snow-capped and like you could go skiing or snowboarding. But inside of them, there's this great eruption waiting to happen that could go at any moment. And the power that is captured inside of that mountain, those volcanoes. I'm just thinking, wow, God, that's awesome. But he begins to speak to me. He says, yeah, but you are so much more powerful. You are so much more cared for. I want you to go and deliver a message to my people about my care, my deep love, my deep affection toward them. He cares for you so greatly. It is far beyond that which words can express. And I began to just weep in my seat on the plane. I got this other big, looks like a bodybuilder guy next to me. I'm like, I don't know if he noticed or not, but I was just undone by the Lord God Almighty. Just he unravels me, how much he cares for me. And it's just continual knowledge of that. And it shapes me, it forms me. I hope the message shapes and forms you today. And that you leave with a greater understanding of how much God cares for you. He just begins saying, you know, as great and awesome as this landscape is, it's you I have called. It's you I have chosen. It's you that I have made in my image and likeness. It is you, meaning the human race, that I've breathed the breath of life into. If that doesn't shake your world, I don't know what will. It rocked me. I'm like, God, you're awesome. God, you're amazing. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now, as we unpack this couple of verses, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. What does that mean to us? It means we have to come under his authority. We have to relinquish our rights, our actions, our thoughts, and humble ourselves to his will, to his plan, and say, God, you're in control. It's a releasing of my control over my situation, my life, and saying, God, I trust you with it. I'm humbling myself under you. That takes a lot of courage. Takes a lot of humility. Say, God, I'm trusting you. It's no small task, but he invites us into it and says he will take care of us. Cast all your cares on him. That's hard also. What keeps you up at night in worry and wonder? What causes anxiety in your life? What causes you restlessness? God says, cast it on me. Give it to me. Don't carry that load by yourself. Don't carry it alone. Give it to me because I care for you. Meaning God has your well-being in mind. God has your best future in mind. And he invites us to humble ourselves under his authority and submit our will and our way to him and cast all of our cares and worries to him. Because he cares for us. That's powerful stuff. In the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. To understand how much God cares for us, I think we have to go back to the beginning of creation to see where it all started. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word. What is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Bible, the written Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. It also talks about in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the great waters. We see the Trinity in the beginning, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the beginning. They've been there since the beginning of time. The Word was there to bring light to the darkness. Jesus Christ is there because he cares for us to bring light to our darkness. What are your dark days? What are your dark nights that you face, that you've walked through, that maybe you're still walking through? Christ has come to bring light to it, and the darkness has not overcome the light. The light wins. The light wins. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. As we jump into Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, talking about in the beginning, we're picking up in day 6 of creation. God has just made the heavens and the earth and the stars and the moon, the fish of the sea, the plant life, formed the land, shaped the rivers and streams, created wildlife and sea life, day and night, all that is within it. Then we get to day 6, in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. How much does God care for us? Since the beginning, he made all the wonderful animals and plants and fishes, all the stars in the heavens, the galaxy. But he said, "No, for the mankind, I'm going to make in my own image and my own likeness." Do you know how much he cares for you? He said, "I'm going to make them male and female from the beginning." I was having a conversation with a young lady this week. I said, "How are you, young lady?" She goes, "How do you know I'm a lady?" I said, "Well, I'm positive about what you are. You might be confused about it." I'm not sure that's politically correct to say anymore, but it is a firm foundation. Since the beginning, God created them male and female. And I'm not going to entertain someone else's delusions. I'm going to call it what it is, because I know who God created you to be. And if I don't speak life to that, I'm agreeing with the lie you're living in. And I know it's tough out there in society today on this topic. So you speak it in love, speak it in kindness, speak it in compassion. And this young lady wasn't confused. She was just picking on me mostly. And I have a good relationship with that person also. But since the beginning, God made them male and female, period. God cares for you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the bread of life, and the man became a living being. I just think, I have an imagination. I just, in my mind, just see God like sculpting this man. And I've like had a few attempts at this. Like I've made some mud pies that didn't look real edible. Like that's as close as I've been to sculpting anything. Like imagining God just playing in the dirt, fashioning Adam, the first man. Just, can you imagine it? Like, I mean, I put some care and time into my mud pies. I didn't just throw dirt in a pan. I mean, but I can just imagine God down on his knees in the dust. Or maybe just stooped over. I don't know. Maybe he had a table to work on. But just imagine him sculpting and shaping and forming in perfection in my image and likeness. And working over the human body and its inner workings. And I mean, just think about what a complex system we are. Like how you can just think about the human body and not believe there's a creator is beyond me. It's like stuff like that doesn't just happen. And then there's this lifeless form of dust, molded, formed, shaped before him. And he leans over, puts his mouth, I don't know, over Adam's mouth and nose. I don't know. I think God has a pretty big mouth if his earth is his footstool. But just imagine him coming down. The very breath of God entered that pile of dust. And mankind became a living being. What great care he has for you and I. Think about that intimacy of God coming down and breathing. And he's still breathing the fresh breath of life. Every breath we have is given by him each and every day. Still that fresh breath from heaven. I just think about what an intimate scene that was. And God has that same care for each and every one of us. Do you know how much the Lord God Almighty cares for you? It was up close. It was personal. We were made in his image and likeness, and the breath of life was put directly into us from him. In John chapter 10, verse 10, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have a lot of favorite verses, although. This is my favorite book. Can we just say that? It's my favorite book. God has so much care for us. He gives us this warning. And he gives us lots of warnings throughout the Bible. But the thief comes only to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. And he doesn't just leave it there. He says, but wait a minute. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. He also gives us a promise. Watch out, be careful, because I care for you. I want you to know there's danger. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour. Watch out, danger. But I also want you to know I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. When I was in Alaska this last week, I think we got 12 or 14 hours of sleep all week, because the sun doesn't go down this time of year. So you think it's still 3 in the afternoon, and really it's 3 in the morning. So you're just still fishing or looking at bears. Or it's like, oh, we should catch a nap. We have to be somewhere in 2 hours. We were living life to the full. We drank in every drop of Alaska we could. We saw every mountain and stream we could. We're out on the ocean fishing every moment we could. God has a much more abundant life in store for us spiritually than even that. The abundance is the spiritual abundance of the peace, the joy, the love, the compassion, the patience, the kindness, the goodness that flows out of us. I was just thinking about this thief. Of course, we know him as Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy whatever he can in your life. What can he steal, kill, and destroy in your life? He will attack and attack and attack and attack. If he can just stop you from having that life of abundance that Christ has promised us. If he can't steal your soul, that's his ultimate goal. He wants to steal your soul so you don't get to heaven. But if he can't do that, he will steal your ministry. He will steal your time. He will steal your relationships. He will steal your reputation. Steal, kill, or destroy any of those things. Whatever he can get a hold of, whatever we give him a foothold to in our lives, we have to be aware and paying attention. And God's given us this amazing book with some guidelines to live by. You know, the Word of God is like guardrails for our life. It's to protect us, to ensure safe travel to our proper destination. It's not a bunch of laws and regulations to control us, but rather to protect us. So we're down there fishing at this one hole, and it was crazy, hundreds of fishermen. And we, being new to the area, fish like we do here, right? It's like we got down there, we took our backpacks off, set them on the bank, and we're out, it was waiting, so you're waiting in the river fishing, and pretty soon here comes the Forest Service people, and whose backpacks are these? And like, mine. It's like, get over here. It's like, okay. Apparently there's a regulation there that you can't leave your backpack unattended. It has to be within 3 feet of you. And of course, it would be easy to get disgruntled and say, well, don't they have something better to do? Darn government workers. Ugh. But really, the regulation was to protect you because they have these thieves that live in the bushes called brown bears that come and steal your backpacks if you leave them unattended. And then it trains them that people with backpacks have nummy snacks. So why not go for the one on that guy's back instead of the one in the bushes? So really, it's a regulation to protect people, not to control people, because there's hundreds and hundreds of fishermen every day for hundreds of days in a row. And sometimes we look at the Word of God like that. Well, God's just trying to, you know, make me not have fun, not enjoy life, not do what I want to do. But God cares for you so much. He's given you his word as guidelines to live a life that is pleasing and honorable to him, that leads to ultimate eternity with him, should we accept his son as our Lord and Savior. God cares for you. He cared enough for this verse, John 3:16. John 3:16. Probably most of us could recite it, but I'm going to read it. For God so loved the world, that's you and I and all of humanity, since the foundations of the earth, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love this verse. This gives me hope for my future. But I believe God's salvation isn't just for eternity, it's also for today. What do you need saved from today in your life? Usually it's this guy. I need saved from my humanity each and every day. I need saved from my bad attitude, my bad thinking, my bad actions. I need saved from this guy. Lord Jesus, come change my mind, make it more like you. Lord Jesus, come give me correct actions and thoughts. Make me more like you. But God loves us so much. He cared for us so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him And when we get to this point of believing in Jesus, do we just believe he's the Son of God? Because we just read that he was the Word, and the Word is God. So if he's the Word, do we believe the Word of God? And do we apply the Word of God to our lives? Hope I didn't have any notes on that. Do we apply the Word of God to our lives as he instructs us to live the abundant life he has promised us? Or do we believe he's the Son of God and believe he gives us salvation for eternity? But as for now, I'm stuck where I am, in my pain, in my suffering, in my sorrow, because I believe we can be free today. We can be free now. Jesus died to bring freedom, to set the captives free. Belief compels us to do something about it. Belief compels us to action. When you say that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your lifestyle then should follow. People should know you are followers of Christ by your actions, by your life you live each and every day, wherever you're at. This verse is far beyond salvation, but believing everything that God promises to us in his word. What dark days do you face? What haunts you? What struggles do you live with? What's hiding in your closet? What are your skeletons? Because Christ has came to give us freedom over those things, because he cares for you. In Psalms 139, David's writing here. And David was a pretty cool guy, but he did some really foolish things. David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. Who knows what else David did? He didn't obey God at some points in his life. Yet he understood God's heart toward him so well. This is one of his psalms. I'm going to read the whole thing, the whole passage of 139. And then we're going to camp on verse 14 for a minute. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. I do not hate those who hate you, Lord. I abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love this passage from David. It's like, God, you know me. God, I can't escape you if I tried. God, there's nothing so great that could separate me from your love. You know me intimately, my inner working parts, my very being, how I was created and developed from the beginning. And he finishes off with, God, search me. Is there anything in me that's not of you? God, is there any thought or way in me that is not pleasing to you? It's like, God, I want to be pleasing to you. God, I know how much you care for me. God, I know how much you love me. You long for me. David had great insight into who his God was. He was not encapsulated by his failures. Sometimes we get to this place where our failures define us, or better yet, our successes define us, instead of allowing us to be defined by who God says we are. In our failures, we walk in guilt and shame, abandonment, desolation, isolation. In our successes, we walk in pride and arrogance, judgmentalism. But we're not supposed to be defined by either one. We're defined by the Lord God Almighty. You were made in my image and likeness. And then we get to verse 14 of this passage. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Do you know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you know that? Do you know that you were made for a purpose? I looked into that young lady's eyes this week and I said, you were made for a purpose to bring God glory. You are powerful and effective if you walk in the ways of the Lord. She just looked at me like, I've never heard that before. Well, it's good. Now she's heard it. Now she knows. She was made by unique design by the Lord God Almighty. As we look into this verse fearfully, in the Hebrew is Yare. It's made with great reverence, heartfelt interest, and with respect. When you were fearfully made, God made you with great reverence, with great care and consideration, with great respect, with heartfelt interest. He didn't just slap you together, look in the back room and say, here's some extra parts I threw together. But he took great care when he knitted together our genes, our chromosomes, our cells, our fibers. And finally, wonderfully, pala, wonderfully made. You were made unique, set apart. Do you know that you were made uniquely and set apart? I saw some really interesting fish this week. So now I'm going to tell each one of you which kind of fish you look like. Sewe, you're a piranha. No, I'm not going to do that. But everything in all of creation, full of its uniqueness, walk in the uniqueness of who God called you to be, because he has great care for you. He didn't give you your gifts, your talents, and abilities without purpose and direction. Sometimes we look at our differences as flaws. God looks at them as unique, specific design character traits. Walk in your gifts, your talents, your abilities. And when you begin to walk in that freedom of knowing God cares for me, when you begin to walk in that freedom of God made me to be who I am, to do what he's called me to do, it's much better than walking trying to be somebody else that you're not. You will go forth and do what God's called you to do. You were made by unique design, set apart for his purpose, for his glory. I hope you have a better understanding of how much God cares for you. And if not, begin to seek him. But from the beginning, he has had plans for you. From the beginning, he has thought about you. From the beginning, he cared for you. That's pretty awesome to think about. God thought of us, he cared of us in the beginning. He looked down the road and said, someday in the Clearwater Valley in 2022, on June 26th, I love those people. He knows our beginning and our end and everything in between. Don't let your failures and your successes define you. Let the Lord God Almighty define you. You're created with purpose. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you love us, that you care for us. God, that you cherish us. And God, we thank you that you created each of us with our uniqueness. God, our characters, our traits. God, our gifts, talents, and abilities. God, I ask that you would open our eyes, God, to see, God, how we complement one another. God, within our gifts, within our skills. God, that you would open our eyes to walk boldly as the men and women that you've created us to be. God, that we could speak life into those around us. God, that we would speak, God, encouragement and strengthen those around us. God, that we would walk through life together. God, not in judgment and condemnation, but God, in God, humility. God, in respect, in reverence for one another as a unique, designed human being by your hand. Father, we thank you for this. God, we ask that you would use us, God, to make the world a better place. God, make us better, to make those around us better. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Remember the missions fundraiser. You can sign up at the information booth for the firewood gathering. The Gleanings barbecue tonight at 5 p.m. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. Maybe you've been struggling with something in life, personally, financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever. Come and get prayer today. Come and meet with the prayer team. The Word of God instructs us to agree with one another in prayer. We want to give you that opportunity today. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I didn't know there was a God who cared about me. I didn't know there was a God who loved me so much that he would send his one and only son to make a way possible for me to get to heaven. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want salvation on my dinner plate. Maybe that's you today. Come forward. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we ask you to go with us as we go today. God, that your protection, God, your Holy Spirit, Father, would be upon us, bringing us wisdom and guidance. God, that you would give us opportunity in our week to share your word of how great your care and love is for us with those around us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want prayer, go ahead and come forward.
Could it
if
really
not,
be
you
that
are dismissed.
Easy that you love me like you say you do? I've got years and years of striving.
Thank you. You're welcome.
When there was nothing left to prove, could it really be this simple? Your kindness changes everything. It's like your grace is on a mission to tear down my religion. You're all I really need.